Our God is with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "To you who hear me, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. When they slap you on one cheek, turn and give them the other. When they take your coat, let them have your shirt as well. Give to all who beg from you. When someone takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others what you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit does that do to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good only to those who do good to you, what credit does that do to you? Even sinners do as much. If you lend to those who expect to repay you, what credit does that do to you? Even sinners lend to other sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Love your enemies and do good to them. Lend without expecting repayment, and your reward will be great. You will rightly be called children of the Most High, since God is good even to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be compassionate, as your loving God is compassionate. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. A full measure, packed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the amount you measure out is the amount you will be given back." The good news. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Lucky me. Lucky me. Zella preached 3 weeks ago, and her sermon was brilliant. It was a gem. And I think she anticipated the theme of today's readings. Love your enemies. She said, and I quote, "We are all living through some strange and unbelievable times. And it is especially hard trying to figure out how to actually love the brood of vipers currently trying to run the show in our country." Ellis, the following Sunday, called upon Zella to apologize to vipers. No doubt he is finding this love your enemies teaching to be especially hard as well. Aren't we all? I don't think there is a person among us who isn't troubled by the disaster that was last November's election. And now we have to ponder today's gospel in light of that. Maybe I should say in the darkness of that. It's a pastoral dilemma. Our chief pastor, Jesus, mentions no exceptions to love one another. Love everyone, he teaches, even the ones we perceive as most evil, as a brood of vipers. Jesus' ancestor, David, in today's first reading, had a chance to kill Saul, his enemy, but chose not to. Saul, David's king, was jealous of David's popularity and extremely petty and paranoid. Sound familiar? So Saul wanted to kill David. But when David was given a chance to rid himself of that problem, he said no. We have a classic story today about not taking the easy way out. Hate and revenge are easy, but love is sometimes damned difficult. It calls for real self-discipline and courage, a word that literally means big heart. The Spirit keeps calling us to a bigger heart, a greater spiritual maturity. And I need the pastoral wisdom of those who struggle with me to attain it. I need you. Let's face it, we are all going through the same things, the same strange and unbelievable times, as Zella called them. There is an ugly part of me that wants a major comeuppance for that brood of vipers, the ones who, I believe, want to destroy what I love, particularly what's left of our democracy. But it's more than politics that has me wanting payback, wanting to yield to the smallness of my heart. It's more than the extreme selfishness of the super rich trying to form a system of, by, and for themselves and exclude the rest of us. It's more than the climate change deniers and the immigrant bashers and the liars and the racists and the transphobes and the homophobes and the privatizers who want to take over public services with the lie that government can't do anything right. All of that and more continues to enrage me. And unlike David, I want to put a violent end to the perpetrators of those evils. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe David wanted that too, although he chose the opposite. He knew his life would be so much easier without Saul. Maybe there was a powerful temptation to nail Saul to the ground and not even need a second thrust, as it says in the reading. I will admit it. There are times when I take pleasure in imagining the demise of certain specific members of the brood. I laughed so hard at a t-shirt that is being sold on the internet that says, "Is he dead yet?" Of course, there is no doubt about who he is. Yes, I laughed, but the Christ in me knows that responding to the brood with such a fantasy is really a failure of imagination. I must imagine, as David did, something other than death as a solution. So I need your pastoral advice. How can I have these conflicting desires coexist in me? How can I want revenge while at the same time honor the one who, the gospel says, forgave his torturers and prayed for them in the moments before his death? I think of this truism from Martin Luther King. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. This is a constant pastoral challenge, and we need to pull together and pastor each other if we hope to stop the madness. I think that the whole matter is so difficult, largely due to the default understanding of love that our culture promotes. Seldom, it seems, do we hear of the hard work that love demands of us. In this month of Valentine's Day, there seems to be little focus on how love is downright hard, downright heroic. It's not just about sweet romantic feelings and flowers and candy and cards, which are all nice, but they're not enough. Love is, for example, about watching your spouse in pain and sharing in that pain. It's about compassion, which literally means suffering with. Love is patience when your patience is at its limit. Love is kindness when your kindness well has run dry. Love is struggling to understand why your perceived enemy is thinking in ways that are toxic and destructive. Sometimes love is standing by when a friend makes a huge mistake, even though you have warned that person. Standing by, ready to help clean up the mess, and having the self-control to not say, "I told you so." Pastor me, please. I need that toughness. I know that love is a commitment, a decision. Sometimes it comes with Valentine sentimentality, with kisses and hugs. Sometimes it comes with anger and confusion and frustration and tears and fears. The bottom line is, I wouldn't feel any of that if I didn't care. The opposite of love, a wise person once observed, is not hate, it's indifference. Not caring. God, we say, is love. God is cosmic caring. God is a fullness and richness that envelops all of us, whether we deserve it or not. In today's gospel, Jesus describes a God who is good to the ungrateful and the wicked. Love is waking up and realizing that a God who sides with us against our enemies does not exist. Love is a decision to care. So the issue in these strange and unbelievable times is how to apply that generous, godly caring to those who behave as our enemies, who are actively trying to pull off a coup and don't seem to care who gets hurt in the process. How do I care about the ones who don't care, who don't seem to have much of a conscience? I know I don't have to like that brood of vipers, but I do have to love them. But how? One way to love them is to seek to understand what brings out the worst in them and myself. The main person in that brood of which Zella spoke had a father who has been described as a racist, a bully, and a thug. He was emotionally cruel to his son and would only approve of him if he became what the business world called a success. So his son pulled off every dishonest trick he could come up with to make that happen. Some mental health professionals say that he has at least two obvious and serious personality disorders, which are coded diagnostically along with developmental disorders. That means that he did not adequately complete certain childhood developmental tasks, and that can leave such a person hateful and vindictive and narcissistic. He's stuck in childish ways. Such an adult child is not well enough psychologically to be anything but selfish. In other words, he can't help it. Now bear in mind that these are reasons for his immorality, not an excuse. Not an excuse. How can I love someone like that? Understanding my enemy is not enough. So I propose two other strategies: truth and compassion. There is a kind of love that we often label tough. It is manifested in radical truth-telling. Not just truth delivered to the perceived enemy, but about the perceived enemy. Love works to warn others. Love seeks to protect our trans siblings and our immigrant neighbors, for example, from the toxicity of the enemy. Love tells the facts respectfully, but with clarity and boldness and bravery. With a spine. Love refuses to be shut up. Love raises hell with elected officials who try to make diversity, equity, and inclusion a thing of the past. Love protests. Love signs petitions. Love supports groups that fight for justice and independent media. Love exposes so-called leaders who lie and cheat and violate their oath of office. Love even risks breaking the law if the law is unjust. That's what the prophets did. They interfered by telling the truth. They threw sand in the gears of ugly schemes. Loving those largely incapable of loving requires understanding their pathology while using truth to undo the damage of their cruelty. Sometimes it means working to lock them up for everyone's safety. I feel sorry for the hate-filled ones. The ones who want a fascist dictatorship and an oligarchy. But pity is not the response that Pastor Jesus wants from me. He calls instead for something far beyond pity. He wants an unrelenting compassion. Be compassionate, he taught, as your loving God is compassionate. As I noted earlier, compassion means suffering with. I'm required to understand that the extremely selfish suffer. They pretend not to, but the truth is they are in pain. And we must care about them and offer them a way out, because hate corrodes the soul and leaves one sad and anxious and insecure and paranoid and petty. Now, my three strategies, understanding, truth-telling, compassion, all of that doesn't fix the pastoral problem. That is, if fixing means changing the ones who seem to lack a conscience. The absence of a conscience means they can't be changed, or change would be only minor and short-lived. So forget about that. What I need to fix to change is my heart. That's where you come in. I need you to remind me of the basics of the gospel. Give me pastoral care so that I don't forget today's gospel's version of the golden rule. Do to others what you would have them do to you. To MAGA folks, I am an enemy. And I would have them show they care by treating this old woke liberal with radical understanding, a commitment to truth-telling, and deep compassion. May we do the same for all of our enemies. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. So what pastoral advice do you have for us?